Good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Price, your hostess for today, and we have a lovely guest for today, Miss Geralyn St. Joseph from Hawaii. She's a wonderful, gifted lady who's going to tell you something about herself. And Geralyn, thank heavens, is visiting in the United States at this time, so she doesn't have to be up at on some ungodly hour of the night in order to do the show, for which we're both grateful, I think, right?
Oh, definitely.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And welcome stateside, and I do believe you're enjoying your trip here so far.
Yes, I'm in Philadelphia.
You're Philadelphia, yeah. Well, you've got some cold air there, I hear.
A little bit.
Just a little bit, okay. So at any rate, I would love you to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you came to be doing the work that you are doing.
Okay. My name is Geralyn St. Joseph, as you said. Currently, I live in Hawaii in a place called Kailua, which we call the Land of the Gods. It's just really beautiful. We have one of the top beaches in the world. I hardly ever get to go to, but, you know, that's what happens when you live right next to things.
Tell me about it. That's true.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
Go ahead.
And I guess I've been doing things since I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and also act as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
I also do energy healing. And basically what I do is whatever spirit calls upon me to do.
Okay.
So I also clear houses and do things like that.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like whatever's necessary. Spirit
okay.
tells me how to do it, and I do it. I've been doing readings for other people since I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And, yeah, I have a Catholic background.
You know, so many of us do. For some reason, Catholics seem to be very much into this.
It's the ritual.
It's a ritual.
All the ritual.
I think
really
you
raises
mentioned
your vibration, because in Catholicism, all the ritual of going to Mass and the incenses that they use and the candle magic
uh-huh.
and all that kind of stuff that they don't realize they're doing actually is very, very effective.
Right.
And I still love going to Catholic Mass. I just think
so do
it's
I.
beautiful.
So do I.
It brings tears to my eyes.
Yes. Well, and, you know, it's a beautiful time, and it's a shame that so much of the ritual concept has been lost.
Yeah.
Over
yeah,
the
they're,
ages.
They're taking more and more of it out, and last time I went to Mass, they stopped using the bells and things like that. I'm like, oh, they don't realize what they're doing.
Well, they're talking about doing Latin again.
Really?
Which I couldn't understand why they stopped to begin with,
mm-hmm.
because it is such a beautiful language. I mean, the Gregorian chant just quite literally lifts you out of this world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just the most magnificent music ever. And I didn't understand it, but, yeah, I'm with you. It's they don't understand it, and I think they did in the early days, because
mm-hmm.
that's why they forbade non-clerics from doing a lot of stuff.
Right.
And then they had women were denied a role in participating in this. And so forth. So we know through the ages what has happened, and then what goes around comes around. It comes back again. The pendulum swings the other way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
The other thing I'm involved in right now is in Hawaii. We are getting ready for the International Interfaith Dialogue in 2011.
Oh.
We're beginning to put this together. So it's a really big movement. We are trying to get people from all walks of life.
Okay.
From all faiths. And it's the only interfaith dialogue that I know of where people like myself are really going to be represented.
Huh.
We have more of a spirituality. It's more spirituality-based than religion-based is what we're trying for anyway.
Right. Well, that makes good sense.
Right.
Because
so,
religion should be spiritual.
It should be awesome. And we're trying to get kids involved as much as possible also.
Okay.
Because we feel, you know, the children are the future, and they have insight that we as adults have lost over time.
Right.
So,
but I also think it's the influx of the new souls. Is that not correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What are you getting as far as the influx of the energies, the new energies that are... Somebody mentioned a date, the 27th of this month, where some powerful new energies are coming in and so forth and so on. Can you give me any part of that? You get readings about that.
I basically, what I'm getting on a world stage is what's occurring right now is that we're calling it the cosmic slapdown.
The cosmic the what?
The cosmic smackdown.
Smackdown.
Everybody has, we've moved so far away from unity and oneness, which is why the indigos and the crystals have come to help us create that more. And people have moved more and more towards being greedy and out for themselves only, that right now what's happening is the entire world stage is having a hardship. Anybody who's greedy and who's out for only themselves is going to have an issue. They're the ones who are going to have problems. And people who work together and work as teams and help one another, they're the ones who are really going to prosper right now. Because that's the message.
I'm going to have to say I feel you're right on that one, okay?
Yeah.
Can people call in to get reading from you? Or many reading?
We could do one question ones if you want to. I don't like to take up too much time with You know.
But we don't get people, thank goodness for the most part, we don't get people who are time hogs, but we do get people who maybe ask a question or two.
Okay.
And but what your message is that we are moving through another time barrier.
Yes.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, we're moving into, I guess, a time. Time isn't a good word for it. We're moving into an era of oneness.
Okay.
And basically, we're supposed to be bringing in the energies of cooperation, consideration. And these are all, I mean, Jesus taught this, Muhammad taught this, Moses taught this.
Right.
All the great teachers taught about oneness and connecting, really connecting with one another.
Right.
And a lot of the kids that come in now actually have a much better use of nonverbal communication than we have in the past. So even though I read today, it was interesting about the crystals that are coming in, they're so into their nonverbal communication that a lot of them don't actually start speaking until they're a little bit older, 3 and 4, and they're being diagnosed as autistic. And the difference between true autism and these kids is that true autism is, they are in their own realm.
Yes.
And they don't communicate or participate in life outside of that. Whereas a crystal, even though, they're in their own world, they bring you into that. They're very cuddly. They're very affectionate. They like a lot of eye contact, which is the polar opposite of what a true autistic.
Right.
So far as it being an issue. So, you know, to watch out for that, that a lot of these, we're having an explosion of this diagnosis. It's almost like a blanket diagnosis, the way ADHD was with the indigos.
Right.
So just to watch for that. And these kids will look at you, and you get sensations from them. You get more of a feeling, and just that they're really raising the vibration around them. And when they see injustice, they talk about it. We're no longer in a time when you're going to be able to get away with not having high integrity. We're moving into a period of time where your integrity is always in question, and it better be of the highest integrity, otherwise you're going to get called on it. We're moving away from the me generation and more towards an us generation.
Okay. So. What do you think of the gentleman who has just been elected president, the president-elect?
I don't like to get into political things.
Go ahead. I don't mean politically, but I mean from a spiritual standpoint.
I don't like him.
Okay.
I get, and I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it. But there's just something that's either going on, I don't know whether it's him particularly or something around him, but there's something that disturbs me, and I'm not sure exactly what it is. So
that's interesting, because when I saw him, my impression was that he has the same spirit as, and I picked up that Lincoln had, that Jefferson had, that Woodrow Wilson had, and that Kennedy had. That was my feeling. I see the same light shining. Now, I could say for sure from Kennedy, because I know I was alive then.
Yeah.
And I see that same clarity around him. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what I see. But I just throw that out there because that's what I see. I think there's going to be a lot of issues being raised,
mm-hmm.
but I believe, my feeling is he's a good man. That's my gut feeling. And
yes.
that he is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best I can tell you from this. It was just very interesting that I saw that. It's the spirit of Christ that I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, time will prove
yeah.
whether I'm correct or not. I do foresee a lot of changes, however, that are going to make people unhappy.
Right, and that are difficult.
And that
can be difficult if people don't.
Yes.
You know, it's just
yes.
things can be easier, they can be simple. It's just they can be simple or they can be difficult depending on how you handle things.
Well, yes, as I said to one of my children one time, you know, stuff can happen to you,
mm-hmm.
but it's how you deal with what you're handed that makes a difference.
Exactly.
It is how you internalize it, externalize it, deal with it. And that's kind of the way I feel about this situation now. Each pot has to sit on its own bottom. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about, just before we went on the air, for those, and if someone wants to call in and talk, please feel free to call in because, you know, I do invite you all to call in. And this lovely lady is a very nice person, and we've had a great conversation, and I've been looking forward to having her on the show. So I invite you to call in and ask questions if you like. I want to get back to the All Faiths Day or Spirituality
mm-hmm.
Day in a few minutes, but we were talking before going on the air that I have had a feeling of being in parallel realities the last few weeks. And I get a feeling of almost lightheadedness when things happen,
mm-hmm.
and of things being just, just a half a step off.
Yeah, exactly. I get real clumsy when I get like that. I feel like not completely in my body, like I'm just, you know... Like you're trying to control it, but you're not all the way
yes.
there. So the dexterity is missing a bit.
Yes, I went to a store, one of my favorite stores in Front Royal, Virginia, and Earthworks as well. And I bought some phenomenally beautiful things, artifacts from China, and
mm-hmm.
some great stuff. Those are two wonderful stores that I patronize, but. 2 weeks ago, I went up, and I hadn't been up for a month, and I walked into the Earthworks store, and I saw Rob, the owner, and immediately I was struck by this jade-carved head that had inlaid or inset turquoise eyes.
Wow.
Now, I took one look, and I said, that's an alien. Okay, and... I said, what period is that from? He said, the Shang Dynasty, something like 3,000 to 1,600 B.C.
Wow.
Yes. And I just looked at that, and I think I just went out of my body at that point. And I did get it. I didn't pick it up right away. I just I got it. And he said he couldn't guarantee that the turquoise inlay was as old. And I looked at her, I said, oh, yes, it is. I mean, I just knew that it was. And he had another head. Also, he called it the alien head. And he said he had another one because we were talking about aliens. He said they've been here, these many centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that these jade heads were typical because it looked more like a gray's head,
mm-hmm.
the shape of the eyes and stuff, but not quite. Not quite, because the Greys do not have turquoise blue eyes. And my feeling is they were setting that aside to show that it wasn't the Greys. It was definitely another people, but
right.
it wasn't stylized, if that makes sense.
Wow.
So at any rate, when he showed me the other, what I saw was, you know what the gingerbread man looks like when you see a gingerbread where they had the circle for the eyes? And
oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I saw. When he showed it to me, and I just didn't like it very much. You know, it just didn't sing to me like this other one did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm explaining it to you because there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, no, I'm happy with this. And so I was going to go back last week. I got sick. I you know, I was sick with some kind of virus, and I was tucked in bed all the whole week. And I went back yesterday, and I picked up the head, which, and it's funny because I felt like the head went home with me in spirit, you know? So when I got it, it's like it had been with me the whole time. And I thought, well, you know, I wanted to see that other head again. And I went and looked for it, and what I found was something different. And it did have round eyes, but they weren't, like, protruding, like, or circles.
Right.
Or solid circles, not, you know, like a wheel circle,
Mm-hmm.
And it's sudden, and then my girlfriend had been telling me how wonderful the weekend was, and we had gone out that day, and she was raving about it and so forth. And when I saw that other alien head, I said, no, that's not it. And I went hunting on the shelves, and then I called the owner, and I said, where's the other one? He said, no, that's the one that was there always.
Oh, wow.
And I said, can't be, because what I saw was thus, thus, and so. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So it would appear that I was in an altered reality, because one of the signs of an altered reality, so I've been told, and perhaps you can corroborate this, mm-hmm. is that there's something, everything looks the same, a parallel mm-hmm. universe, rather, a parallel universe, everything looks the same, but there's just one thing that may be off, just slightly
right.
different.
Yeah.
It would be a tree where there isn't a tree normally, people who you normally speak to, or you recognize but don't recognize you. Something is off, just one little thing, and you just wonder about it. You don't think much about it. But I will tell you, I noticed that difference, and it just blew my mind. And I thought I was in a parallel universe.
Wow.
And the head I saw was not that head. It is really bizarre. And this, I think, is happening more and more.
Oh, and I think so.
And what is the explanation for this? Is it the veil is getting thinner, or are we just moving closer to moving up into the next level?
I think it's a combination of things. This time mm-hmm. of year, of course, the veil is thinnest between a couple days before Halloween to around January 6th. Then you have just vibrationally where we're
uh-huh.
vibrating at a higher pace. So we're
mm-hmm.
we're kind of straddling at this point, I think.
We're what?
We're straddling. It's
oh, straddling.
Between two worlds. We're kind of, you know,
yeah.
sometimes one foot's in one and one foot's in the other.
Right.
And I just feel like for a lot of my students and stuff, they're seeing that transitions are coming a little bit more easily than they had in the past. It's more easy to get into when we're doing a journey to actually get there.
Uh-huh.
And to go into meditation and receive clearer information. The information is getting stronger and it's getting clearer because we're more in line with where we need to be.
Uh-huh.
So it's okay. really an exciting time, I think.
Well, it is. But what is the difference between, and explain for our listeners, what is the difference between a parallel universe and where we're supposed to be heading into a higher dimension? Or is the parallel universe actually a higher dimension?
That's a good question. That's something I haven't really really explored that thoroughly, but I would say a parallel universe basically exists on the same
uh-huh.
vibratory level. It's just that when your vibration increases, you could see more of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Supposedly, we split like 9 different ways with each decision we make.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's like there's 9 different splits with each decision that you have. Actually, there's 9 reflections of you in 9 different universes, and that.
Yeah.
I don't know why the number is 9, but that's...
I don't either. Except that sounds like isn't 9 the ending number? Isn't that a...
Yeah, 9 is like the completion. That's when you're about
number.
To expand.
That's it. Okay.
So, with each decision you make, that branches off into another, a whole other direction. So that if your spirit made the other decision, it's actually there.
Okay.
So far as going into another dimension, I think all 9 of those are on the same dimension. But as you increase your
your vibration, it's easier to see where those nine places would have led you.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, no matter what decisions you make, just like the Tree of Life shows, there's 22 different paths to any one destination.
Okay.
So no matter what decision you make, it's still leading you to the same place. It's just how you get there. Either you're going to go the long way or you're going to go the short way. It's going to be easy or it's going to be hard. It's your decision.
Okay. That's interesting because I hadn't heard about the 22. I knew there were, I know I call my company Multiple Pathways. I don't think I consciously considered that that's kind of freaky now to me. I sort of just grabbed it by the seat of my pants and pulled it out of the air. It sounded good to me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've always heard there were many paths to heaven, and that's why I chose it. There were many paths. I never considered that there would be multiple paths. Now, I understand that we have certain decisions that we make in relationships, for example. If you decide not to marry a particular person, that in an alternate universe or parallel universe, you actually marry them.
Right.
And the relationship goes forward. And so you do have a life with them.
See, the thing is, that if your vibration is high enough, you can tap into that and learn whatever lessons you're supposed to learn from that.
Consciously.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes on whether you're conscious of it or not, isn't that correct?
Correct?
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it exists whether or not you're consciously aware of it. Is that correct?
Correct.
You know, there's so much of this that is just blowing my mind. How do you learn these things? Do you read? I'm a voracious reader. I read an awful lot. I've most recently been reading, Dolores Cannon's books, Convoluted Universe, and these are covered in it. And it's like I'm relearning things I already know.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you gain your knowledge? Do you just have it?
I almost feel like I get downloaded stuff sometimes.
Okay.
It's like in meditation, or I'll wake up and they'll just give me words or whatever, and they'll tell me something I need to look at, like Merkaba. One day I woke up and they spelled it out for me, and I was supposed to look that up and learn about the Merkaba and different things like that. It's just like,
okay.
What is that, you know?
I've
never heard of it before, never saw it before, and all of a sudden, okay, this is what you need to look at. And sometimes it's just a full download where they just show me things, or all of a sudden I'll have an epiphany, and I'll have a moment, you know, where it's like, oh, that's how that works, okay.
Yeah, like an aha moment for me.
Yeah, exactly. I like to read, I like to learn about physics.
Yes.
Very scientific.
Yes.
A lot of times I like to experiment. When I do get in situations where I have the opportunity, like the first time I had to deal with someone who was possessed by a ghost, I asked her all kinds of questions.
Okay.
You know, and
yeah.
The possession lasted about 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, we crossed her over. But, like, during those 3 days, everything I could think of, I was asking all kinds of questions. How do you see? You know, can you become physical? How do people see you? You know, do you have to manifest for people to see you? Can they just, some people could see you, some people can't? You know, all kinds of questions.
Hey, that's cool.
And it was just so fascinating. And I've done that on different occasions when I've been given the opportunity.
You just questioned the ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, I've always just accepted them and talked to them like, you know, they're my next-door neighbor.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you see this? How does this work? What does this do?
Well, isn't that funny? Because it never occurred to me to question them. I just accepted them for where they are, got my information, and toddled happily off. I guess my inquiring mind isn't as inquiring as my friends would lead me to believe.
it's fascinating. Well, I find it fascinating anyway.
Well, yes, I do too.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm hearing a whistle. I thought I heard somebody cutting in, but apparently not. It's just my own voice responding. Anyway, well, I find it absolutely fascinating to learn all these things. My feeling is that we are moving more and more into a level of beingness that is going to be separating us from those who are going to be kind of left behind. And, you know,
well,
for me,
like
that's a sadness.
Are getting more dense and higher vibration are vibrating more quickly.
Some people are getting more dense, you say, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like physically, there's definitely, I mean, I've watched it for the last 10 years or so, this dichotomy of people who are becoming more and more aware and then the people who are really shutting down psychically.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Huh. What do you see? Tell me, explain to me. I'm fascinated.
Well, like so far as violence is concerned, violence is a symptom of density.
Right.
Because as you become higher and higher vibration, the violence is no longer necessary, so it's not
right
there. And the lower vibrations, you're either acting out of love or you're acting out of fear.
Okay, that much I can agree with, yes.
Yeah, those acting out of fear is a very dense vibration. It's really heavy and it's like salt on your tail. It just holds you down.
Uh-huh.
And those that are acting out of love, it's like having wings, so you're moving up.
Huh.
The thing is, like, I remember as a kid, there seemed to be more balance where people were a little bit of both. You know, sometimes they seemed really spiritual, and sometimes they were really just fearful, is
yeah
the word to use. Then, as I'm getting older, I'm seeing that there are just groups of people who seem really spiritual, and that more of the general populace is becoming more and more spiritual as we're talking to people, and as crime rates rise also. It's like there's a reaction to that pulling away.
Uh-huh.
So they pull in the other direction, and they're like, no, we're not going there. We're going to create fear. We're going to create something, for instance, and this may not be a good example, but...
That's all right.
When 9/11 happened...
Yes.
I mean, it was so devastating. My daughter and I watched it.
Yeah.
As it was happening. We were living in Colorado at the time. And when that happened, it really exemplified the dichotomy, because a lot of us wrote papers and things that we sent out about rising above
right
the violence and, you know, looking more towards helping one another and allowing that to act as an impetus
right
for us to really work on getting to know our neighbors and
right
really working together.
Exactly.
As opposed to being fear-based and then being judgmental of everybody around you and holing up in your own little private place.
Exactly, right.
And then after that, then the tsunami hit, and then the hurricane hit New Orleans, and all these things were happening to try and pull the world as a world populace
right
together to help
yeah, that was,
these
yes
people.
Yeah, that was very obvious to me that it was teaching us to say, come work together.
Exactly.
And people willingly sacrificed their life, that we would have the opportunity to work together
mm-hmm
to desire that. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, and what really shocked me with 9/11 is that I pick up on, there's a difference between a ghost and a spirit.
Yes.
A ghost is someone who hasn't crossed over and become one with God.
Right.
A ghost can only be in one place at one time, and they don't know any more than you or I do.
Yeah.
They know their own existence, and that's about it. What I expected when that happened, because it was so sudden and so violent,
yes,
I expected there to be a lot of residue, a lot of ghosts hanging out after that.
Right.
And a lot of us didn't feel that. We felt that they crossed over immediately, like they knew, and it
yes
was boom.
Yeah, there was a lot of help given at that time. There's some people who said they saw spirits rising, helping those who chose to leave,
mm-hmm,
rising immediately.
Yeah.
There was spirit that there was a lot of preparation, and those who chose to go were ready. I myself, when people are ready to cross over, about 2 weeks, at least for me,
mm-hmm,
and about a month, but I certainly 2 weeks before somebody departs, they look sick to me. They look like they're pale.
Yeah, one will start doing things to tie up loose ends.
Yeah.
Because their soul knows it's coming, no matter how it's coming.
Exactly.
No matter how sudden it seems to the outsider, their
exactly
soul knows that this is the end of their script and that they need to do certain things before they cross.
Exactly. And I just see them as being very, very pale.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I want to, and I've done this several times, including with my own mother before she passed over, wanting to take them to the doctor and say, you know, are you sure you feel all right? You know, you look very pale. maybe you should see a doctor.
Right.
And because that's like, and I realized it's the absence of the aura.
Right.
Around them that I'm seeing. I'm seeing that their aura, or part of the soul, has already departed.
Right. It's like the siphoning off of the
life. So at the time of death, it is not so traumatic.
Right.
Even those who die a violent death, I have seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have a friend who was murdered.
Yeah, my daughter's best friend was violently murdered, and I saw her 2 weeks before her death. In fact, I predicted her death, and I don't think her mother ever quite forgave me for seeing her death
mm-hmm.
6 months before, and very upset about it. But I'm sorry, but I don't hide things like that, by the way. You know,
right.
I think it's unkind to hide things. You know, and you should have a warning because it gives you an opportunity to do something. If you don't do something, that's
exactly.
Your...
Well, I feel when we do readings and we see traumatic events, the purpose of seeing it is maybe it may be avoided, or if
exactly.
It cannot be avoided, to prepare...
Or to neutralize it even.
That.
Sometimes you can even... it can be, if not totally... swayed, but it can be softened some. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Because most things are not ordained, really.
Right. And what I see is oftentimes, like, people will go through a traumatic event. If they can see what's happening on the other side, or why is
yes.
this happening, what is it supposed to teach me, why did
right.
this occur, it's a lot easier to go through it.
Exactly.
And it's a lot easier to come out the other side and be whole.
Exactly.
So I feel that's the purpose of giving a reading is to give people a heads up and allow them to see the possibilities that lay before them so they can see
yes.
the landscape. It's their decision how they're going to traverse that landscape.
Exactly. It's how are you going to meet what's coming?
Exactly.
It's up to you to make that choice. And that's what I like so much about freedom, free will, and free choice, because we do have that choice
mm-hmm.
to make. And there are times when we say, well, yes, I know where I'm leaving now, and it's okay to leave now, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
And at any rate, yeah, I very much agree with you. But there are those who do not give that information.
Right.
And...
See, well, I will couch it in such a way that... Because I believe that people know, they feel it.
Yes.
But it may not be a conscious thing.
Well, yes, that soul does know it.
Give the information in a roundabout way. I don't come out and say, oh,
yeah.
You know, this is going to happen. You know, I give whatever information spirit is telling me
mm-hmm.
is necessary at that time. You know,
yeah.
if you need to tie up loose ends, you need to make amends with whoever, you need to do this or you need to do that, and
uh-huh.
you only have thus and so an amount of time.
Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah, I have to agree with you. That's true. I don't say it. I just say it would. It's not too often I have that, but when I do, I say you might want to. Well, the warning I gave was. This person is bad to be around. They should not be around your family in any way, shape, or form. Get them away from your house. Keep them away from your children.
Mm.
You know? And my warning wasn't heeded. You know?
Mm.
And afterwards there was a lot of, you know, breastfeeding and soul searching, but there it is. One can't help it, you know? And,
yeah.
And I felt very badly, but, oh well, this too shall pass. On the other hand, let's talk more about this spiritual, it sounds very interesting. I might want to be able to go myself.
The Interfaith Conference.
Yes.
Or Dialogue, we're calling it
yes.
Dialogue now. It changes week by week.
So talk to us more about that, because I find this very interesting.
It's being spearheaded by a man named Salim Ahmed, and he is Muslim, and he started something called the All Believers Network. Which is online. It's belnet.com.
Uh-huh.
And we have groups that meet on a regular basis. We usually meet like once a month, small groups of interfaith dialogue. And like each month we'll have somebody different speak about what their faith is. And,
uh-huh.
and then we ask some questions. Because what we find is that there's a lot of miscommunication, a lot
sure.
of misunderstanding amongst faith about what they really believe in.
Exactly.
And then once we get together and we talk about what the basis of the faith is, we're like, oh, wow, that's the same thing as what I was thinking.
Yes.
So it's been really helpful in that way. And Salim has written two books. One is called, I think it's called,
something. Oh, I'm sorry. it's about Veil and Holy War or something like that. But basically, it his last name is Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D, and I'm mispronouncing it, so that you understand.
It's Ahmed, but go ahead.
Yeah, Ahmed is the way it's pronounced.
Yes, go ahead.
But it compares the Bible to the Quran on key points.
Right.
And it's really interesting. It's a good book. And then his other book is coming out in February, and that is called Islam, A Religion of Peace, with a question mark. And he explains how passages are misinterpreted to, there are war verses and peace verses, and
right.
how people pull certain things, and that it's, you know, it's these fringe groups that actually create and talk about the jihad and all that kind of stuff. And just trying to educate people, and it's a fascinating book. And he's actually a fascinating person to speak to. So he spearheaded it, and Hawaii State is backing us, and we're trying to get as many different people from as many different spiritual backgrounds as possible to sit and basically talk. And just really open up the lines of communication so we can all understand where everybody's coming from and realize that most of us are coming from the same space.
Right.
You know, and it's the only one that I know of that we're really going to have, we being like New Agers or spiritual people as opposed to just Judeo-Christian type background, where we're really going to have a representation. Because I'm on the board also.
Okay.
So, and...
Well, have you tried working with established religions on this one?
We have Muslims. We have three or four different types. Well, we have, as far as I know, there's like three or four different types of Muslim groups. There's several different types of Buddhist groups. There's several Christian groups involved. There's a Jewish group. There's American Indian. There's Hawaiian. And then us. So we're trying to get as many different groups involved as possible. And right now I think there's probably somewhere in this, upwards around 50 people working on it, and there's about 10 core people who are doing, like, the day-to-day stuff for the planning of it. So.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking of is, as far as, you know, talking to the local archdiocese or the local Lutheran, you know, the major religions to become part of it.
Some of them are already on board.
Some of them are. That's good. Okay.
Some of them are already on board. It's just, we just started planning it. We just started doing this in September.
Okay.
So it's a matter of making those connections. Like, I want to find Father John Connolly, who is now a bishop, Catholic bishop. And he was one of my teachers when I was in grade school. And I would love to find him and have him be one of the representatives of Catholicism. Because he's
That makes sense.
The kind of man, like, when he walks in the room, everybody's like, wow. You know, just, his vibration is so high, and he's so loving and such a wonderful, caring person. He's like an angel on earth. He's amazing, and I would love to have him there. So if he's listening, or if anybody knows Bishop John Connolly, who's probably in the Philadelphia Archdiocese, call me.
Okay. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, something you might try to do is at the Catholic University, is the Holy See in the U.S. And they have a very strong outreach program for this area. So you might consider that.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Catholic University.
Don't know a soul there, but it's a possibility. Okay. So
in Hawaii, it's a little bit different than the rest of the world.
Yes.
In Hawaii, there's a lot of interfaith stuff happening already, where the churches all get together as a group, and like our Easter worship, for instance, there's like six different Christian churches that get together and do an Easter service.
Really?
And we do a lot of things on the beach, and I do the full moon every month, and then for the solstices, we go on the beach, do a bonfire, and it's a multi-faith thing. We chant, we do all different kinds of prayers. I say the Our Father, which is a typical Christian, and we just welcome all faiths, and we just do a big group thing. So the churches really do intermingle there a lot more than they do anywhere else I've seen.
Well, I think that's wonderful, because we do need that. We do need, we we have to realize that we're all spiritual beings.
Right.
And it's not just religion, but it's spirit, which is important.
Exactly. And that's one of the things we want to focus on is spirituality versus religion.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it's about being a spiritual person and following the morals and the ethics, you know, more than trying to cram your specific beliefs or rituals down somebody else's throat.
Exactly. That's what's important. So you do readings for a living and so forth and so on. A quick one. I have a program. Let me ask you if you could get something. May I?
Sure.
On me? Okay. I have a program that I'm trying to get done with the VA for PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to work with a nonprofit, Christian-based nonprofit. Is that going to work out?
Yes. It's going to take a little finagling. You have to talk to the right person.
Yeah, I'm talking to the director of the All Faith Group.
Okay.
And they're trying to get us under their contract, which they already have a large contract. They're trying to see if they can get funds to do PTSD therapy through us to help the men and women who've been coming back who are so wounded in spirit.
Yeah, in Hawaii we have, there's a group of us who go to the VA on a regular basis.
Okay.
We do Reiki and different energy healing techniques on them, which has been very effective.
Okay.
But it feels like, yes, you do get what you want. It takes a little bit longer than you're thinking.
Okay.
So don't be discouraged.
How long is that? A little bit longer than I'm thinking?
Only about 2 weeks longer than what you're thinking.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. That'll work.
Yeah, and they're saying don't get discouraged because it feels like there is some resistance.
Oh yes, always.
But that you're working through it, and there'll be a breakthrough.
Oh, that would be fabulous because if we could have it started by the new year, do you think that might be?
Yeah.
Starting in the new year.
It feels like there's somebody trying to cut in on my mother's phone. I don't know how to shut that off.
That's all right. I can't hear it.
Okay, that's good. It feels it's right around Christmas, actually.
When it comes through?
Like mid-December to the end of December where you get the go-ahead.
Fabulous. That'll be a great Christmas present for everybody. For everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
we're trying to do the same thing where we are because with post-traumatic stress disorder, we find that the therapies that help them the most are the more spiritual therapies.
Yeah. Well, we are looking at a hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. And these poor people are being told that there is no curing of PTSD, and that's not true.
Oh, that's not true at all.
Uh-huh. See? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There is.
Yeah, the Reiki has been very effective for people. And acupuncture.
Yes.
Different types of energy work, meditation.
Yes.
It's a lot of the new age.
We don't want to use the new age, the older
stuff.
The alternative therapies work.
Exactly.
Because what I have found is it is the emotional body that needs the healing. And most...
Oh, you know what's good too?
What? Okay, go ahead.
Soul retrieval.
Yes.
Has been extremely effective to do soul retrieval and Ho'oponopono.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Now, welcome to the show. May I help you? Hello? We have a caller? If that person could call back again, we would be delighted to have you on board. If you want to call, we'd be glad to take calls and do whatever it is. Please feel free to call back again. We'll try and get you on the show. It has something to do with technical vibes.
Exactly.
Speaking of energies.
Yeah. So,
yes, go ahead.
Anyone who does have suggestions for me or questions.
Please give your information and contact information.
Yeah,
this is the perfect place to do it.
Exactly. My main website is called psychicinhawaii.com. And if you look up my name, Geraldine St. Joseph, or you type in Hawaii Psychic, like the first five websites that come up are all me. My email address is Geraldine with a G @voiceofspirit.com.
Voice of Spirit is also one of my websites, as is Spiritual Parents and GabrielsTrumpet.net. So that's the easiest. And then my business line is 808-261-7866. And that's in Hawaii, and there's a five-hour time difference between Hawaii and the East Coast. Hawaii's earlier.
Okay. So. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. We were going to have that anyway, but this is a perfect time to let people know if they want to reach you directly. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Anyway, so.
Oh, and I'm in Hawaii. I'm in Philadelphia. We leave very early in the morning on December 5th. So I am available for readings and such.
From the U.S. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
In the Philadelphia area.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, please take advantage of her while she's here in the U.S. That would be a wonderful gift to give yourself.
Give yourself the gift of health this Christmas.
Yes.
Be an alternative practitioner.
Yes. Have you ever heard of Jin Shin Jutsu?
What's it called?
Sounds like a sneeze, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Jin Shin Jitsu.
Yes, I have.
It is. It is the most wonderful healing art, and I have studied that, too, and I use it.
Wow.
And we want to use it on our vets as well, or teach them, really, how to take care of themselves with self-healing. Because I feel one of the most important things we can do is teach people that they can, indeed, bring forth their own healing powers. And that is very empowering, especially for those who have felt so powerless for so very long.
Exactly.
So at any rate, I am so glad to hear that our program will come through and that we'll be dealing with this nonprofit group. I feel very positive about it. And at any rate, I think things are going to be very successful for you, my dear.
Thank you very much. My older brother.
Yes. Hold on just a second. Hold on. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Who's calling?
Hi, Phyllis. This is Maureen calling.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Fine. I'm enjoying the program. It's really interesting to hear what you both are speaking about with the parallel universes and the great information about your upcoming grant here, possibility of grant working with PTSD and the soldiers. That'd be fantastic.
Thank you. What direction do you have, my dear?
So I have a question for your guest today, and the question is, I'm writing a book with another person, and I'd like to know any insight she has about if we need to go through an agent on this book. It's almost there. It's almost ready.
What's your first name again? I'm sorry, because you kind of muffled.
Maureen.
It feels like... So you're writing it with another person, you said.
Yes.
And it does feel like there's someone who helps you or teaches you how to promote the book.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, I don't know whether it's self-published, but it feels like there's a smaller run to begin with, and then something larger comes out of it.
Okay.
So I know you're asking whether or not you need an agent, and it feels like in the beginning... There is somebody helping you, but I don't know whether they're considered an agent or not. They feel more like a marketing person or someone who's showing you how to, teaching you how to do this and get it started on your own. And then once you have a little bit of success, then it goes into a larger distribution.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Okay. Appreciate that.
Interesting.
Hmm.
And it feels like another female.
Excuse me, any sense of timing on it?
They're giving me a 3, so I would think 3 months or March, something like that.
Okay. That feels about right.
Fabulous.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your gift.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Okay, thank you, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Well, thank you for calling. It's so nice to have people call in every once in a while. Sometimes I wonder, is there anybody out there, and are they
listening besides us? Yeah.
Like that little old lady used to say, I don't think anybody's out there, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, although occasionally I have been told sometimes that the information was so interesting, they didn't, or they were having such a good time listening, they didn't want to interrupt.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's a nice compliment, too, but still, exactly. A little interruption now and again, or, you know, even heavy breathing helps. Just so I know you're out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay, at any rate.
Speaking of martial arts, my older brother, Thomas St. Joseph, is in Delaware, and he has his own martial arts studio.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and he specializes, I mean, he's helped a lot of women, a lot of kids learn how to defend themselves. It's really good for self-esteem. And
right.
He's right in Delaware. He's right off the Neiman's Road and Route 202.
Okay.
And he's just like, he's wonderful, if I do say so myself. He's my big brother. He's been my spiritual mentor my whole life.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm sorry he's not in Washington, D.C. Otherwise, I've been thinking about going and taking that kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been putting it off, you know, for some whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to learn it.
He's got a real gentle spirit about him, but do not, you know, make him angry. Or, you know, threaten somebody that he loves, because, he's not a person you want to...
You don't want to get on his grumpy side. Huh?
Exactly. But he's got a presence about him that people, you know, just, there's a natural respect there. My father's like that, too. It's just kind of like when they walk in the room, you're like, oh, this is somebody we should listen to.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of training in that area is very helpful for people.
Yeah. Because it's so spiritual, also.
Yes, because you do learn not anger management in that.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn to respect yourself. And I think a lot of it is based on self-respect. I think many people have an issue with they haven't learned to respect themselves. And if you can't respect yourself, you can't respect anyone else.
Exactly.
And I've had that thought for many, many years. And I also think that we should ask a lot of ourselves, you know. A lot of people don't hold themselves to a high standard,
exactly.
And I think that's not good.
It's whatever's easiest and quickest.
Yeah, and somebody say, I work with children who are born premature, and a lot of them have some very many health issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I am always talking to the children as though they perfectly well understand me,
mm-hmm.
And so forth, and people are saying... And in one instance, I know they got upset because I said no to the child. And the child got upset and stomped her foot and tried to do something. He said, well, she's having a temper tantrum. And I said, and that's not acceptable. And they looked at me, and the child kept trying to do something, and I just picked her up and moved her over, and I said, absolutely not. We do not do things like that. It's not acceptable. And I just went on with talking about something else. And when she misbehaved, I ignored her. As soon as she started behaving, she got my full attention. She learned very quickly not to disobey. But the thing is, you can do it gently, and they said, but, you know, she's got problems. And I said, and she will have more problems that are much more serious if somebody doesn't say, this is the boundary. This you can do, this you don't do.
Exactly.
Not a matter of can't do it. You just don't do it.
Well, and I think it's important for people to understand when it comes to parenting.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, because we're both parents are working, they don't have that much time with the kids, and they just give. You're not teaching your child anything, and what makes it worse is emotionally.
Yes.
They feel extremely insecure. If you're not giving
yes.
them boundaries, discipline means to teach. It's not a bad word.
Exactly.
It means to teach. And people need to understand that you need to be firm, and you could be firm and loving, and you need to control your child's life to a certain extent, especially when they're little, and give them boundaries and give them what they need. It, that is what makes them feel loved. That is what makes them feel secure.
Certainly.
It's not a bad word.
Exactly. And many people have misplaced that idea,
mm-hmm.
I think, in their lives. And they don't say no. It's okay to say no.
Well, and they feel guilty because they're not home all the time.
Well, my mom worked, you know, and I turned out pretty good. My mom was one of the early workers, you know, she had to work. to put food on the table, and because my father was killed in World War II, and when she remarried, you know, they both worked, and they both sent money home to their respective families.
Mm-hmm.
They not only supported me and themselves, but they both supported their parents.
Wow.
And you know, that they didn't make a lot of money. My mom just worked for government. Dad worked as a waiter. So you know that they didn't spend a lot of money spread all over the place.
Yeah.
But they were able to help out their families. And, you know, there were a lot of times I heard the word no.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't turn brown and shrivel and die.
Exactly. Yeah.
And my little psyche wasn't in the least warped.
Exactly. And you have more self-confidence and you're ready to deal with the world better. When
yeah.
You have that kind of discipline.
Oh, yes. And it was very lovingly done, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mom just said we can't afford it, period, end of sentence. Not that she didn't want me to have it, it's just, you know, we couldn't afford it. And that was the answer, and it didn't, and I would never stamp on my foot the way some kids do today.
Oh, no.
And demand it, and scream and yell and holler. Good Lord.
Oh, no. When my daughter wants something, she works. She's 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she's been doing odd jobs to make her own money since she was like 6.
Great.
What she's doing right now, she started her own nanny, doggy nanny. And she'll walk the neighbor's dogs and
uh-huh.
pick up after them or go play with them if the neighbor's out all day and that kind of thing. And
well, good for
you
her.
Know, she does great, and she saves her money when she wants something, and then when she has enough, then she'll go buy it. Or sometimes she'll save it even more because she wants to, you know, she doesn't want to blow it all at the same time.
Learning early.
Yeah, she's really, really good. God bless her. I'm really, really lucky.
Oh, you
but,
are.
But, you know, being a single parent. And then
yeah.
she's been alone with me since she was one, for all intents and purposes. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's been the two of us, and she sees how hard I work, so she decided to contribute.
Well, you know, I think that's a very wonderful thing. You've got a very old soul there, but then you
oh,
already know
really?
That, don't you?
She's much older than me.
Yeah, she's got an old soul.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you once again, we are approaching the bewitching hour of saying goodbye.
Oh.
So it's been a joy and a delight. Perhaps we can have you on again when you are next in town, and we'll be closer to that wonderful time of a meeting with all faith. If you can give your information one more time, darling.
Sure. My main website is psychicinhawaii.com. My email is Geralyn, GERALYN, at voiceofspirit.com. And my business phone is 808-261-7866. And I'm in the Philadelphia area. I will be in Lancaster County, all over New Jersey, also in Maryland.
Okay.
Between today and I leave very early in the morning on December 5th.
Okay.
So I'm available until December 4th.
Thank you. And I'm Phyllis Pricer, and I'm your hostess for The Higher Dimension. Next week, we finally have Diana Harris, and we're so looking forward to having her. And you've been a joy to have on board, my dear, and I am so looking forward to talking to you again. Please let us keep in touch. God bless you, my dear. And thank you all for listening. Have a great Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Blessings.
Bye-bye, darling.
Bye-bye.